Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
We've got to have someone give perspective, Bone, to just what Bruton Smith was like as a man, what it was like to work for, and just what he meant to the sport of racing. And there's no one better to do it than someone that's worked under him for years over there at the Speedway for PRN. That is Doug Rice, and he joins us here on the Mac Attack. Doug, we appreciate you joining us, man.
Mac, T-Bone, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to come on and talk about Bruton and what he contributed to the sport, his philanthropy, and you surmised that really well. He lived to be 95, and he lived a very full, productive life. I mean, that man worked up till the end, and that was his thing. He loved to work. He you never heard him talking about vacations or trips to Hawaii. It was the next opportunity to work and to expand on what he had already created.
When you look at his contributions to motorsports, I mean, he and Humpy in the All-Star race, I mean, Bristol itself, like what's at the top of the list in terms of what he's responsible for?
Yeah, that's a good question. I look at the things that he brought as an innovator, and I know that's the word that's been tossed out a lot about Bruton, innovator, visionary. But that's a big list, and a lot of them were centered at Charlotte Motor Speedway and carried over to other places. You mentioned the All-Star Race. Well, they were the first group. Bruton had this idea to light the speedway, and people scoffed at that. You can't light a super speedway, a mile-and-a-half racetrack. Well, they did, and ran the first All-Star Race under the lights, one hot night, tremendous success. And then later on, you know, it became everyday occurrence to light super speedways. It was called a folly when Bruton proposed the idea of the condos at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Yeah. Well, they took off, and if you bought them early, you made a nice tidy profit probably down the road when you sold it. And the Speedway Club at Charlotte, that was universally ridiculed. You can't have fine dining at a racetrack. Well, you know, 20-some years later, it's still there, and it set a pattern that forced other facilities to have to do these type of things. And those are some big lists. I know it's cliche to have your Mount Rushmores in whatever sport, but if there is a Mount Rushmore in NASCAR, and I'm not talking about the driver's side, I'm talking about the builders of the sport, Bruton Smith's got to be on there.
Definitely. Also, Speedway Children's Charities as well, which is a massive thing that was under his watch as well. We're talking to Doug Rice, PRN, at RiceMan61 on Twitter. Doug, we talked about his impact on the sport that he had. What he had, the impact on you, though, personally, what was he like to work for?
He was an interesting man. I mean, it's nice in a lot of ways to work for somebody that's almost bigger than life. And I think that's a fair description of Bruton. He walked in the room, and he commanded the attention, not because he said, look at me, but because you knew that at that time he was the decision maker. And a couple of little things popped into my head over the last day since I've been thinking about this. There was one time we were in Texas, and I think he had done a press conference, and he had talked about acquiring some land. And he also had a pretty sizable ranch down in Texas. And I asked him about buying land, and he goes, I don't want all the land. I just want all the land that touches mine. and later on that day I went, oh no, he does want all the land.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a Bruton thing, you know, for him to say that, because that's the way he thought. He thought big, and you know, and one other occasion he asked me to make something happen. And in my answer, I used the word no, and he just stopped me. And he goes, I don't know that word. I'm not familiar with what you just said. And I thought, and I went, you're right. The answer is we will get that fixed and I'll come back to you with the proper answer. Meaning, I don't know what the word no means.
Yeah, but those
kind of things stick in your mind.
That's how you get people like him that get things done over and over again. That's how you get things done. But no's not an option. That's awesome. Doug, I want to ask you about one part of him, though, that I always found interesting is that, like, he was a maverick, right? He was a rebel, and he was one of the few guys in the sport. I mean, there ain't many that would stand up to the France family. You know, and there was a rivalry there, ISC and the France family, Speedway Motorsports, and NASCAR's got to hand out the races. But he was big enough to just stand there and go toe-to-toe at times. What was his relationship like with the France families? And what can you tell us about kind of that maverick rebel personality, man? He wouldn't take anything, you know?
He relished that.
Yeah.
I don't want to overstate my place in line here, but I feel like in just observing Bruton, he enjoyed that role.
Yeah.
He enjoyed being a little bit of the iconoclast and the guy on the outside stirring it up. But you know, that also sharpens the knife on the other side. That made the sport better. That tension between Bruton's interest and the interest of the France family made the whole sport better.
Yeah.
And helped it grow. And I know that sounds a little Pollyanna, but I do. I think if you had two people that all wanted to make it better but maybe differed on the way to make things better, I think that's good for everybody, and that's a winning proposition in my book. But yeah, there was a tension there, but it was respectful too. And I know for a fact that Bruton cared deeply for Brian France. He and Brian had a really nice relationship.
Doug, what was the dynamic like when Bruton and Humpy Wheeler were together in a room? Like, what was that vibe like between those two guys?
You know, I didn't have a lot of occasions that they were in the same place at the same time, but I do know this. In my role up there, I emceed hundreds of events that Humpy would defer. You know, you make sure that Bruton gets the spotlight. He, even though Humpy was their lives, they were very, very close again. You know, there was a time that wasn't good, but I know for a fact that later in life, Humpy and Bruton were very tight again, and that makes me feel good.
No, that I was curious when Bone asked you the question. I'm like, oh man, did that end okay? You know, towards the end for Bruton,
yes,
and I'm
did.
Glad to hear
yes,
that.
Yes, it did.
That's good. That's very good. And you talk about,
I know what it's like to defer to the other guy here a lot, Doug. Don't worry about that.
Watch yourself. But you talk about, Doug, a combination of two innovators and guys with outside-the-box ideas that can't be told no. What a tandem, man. You know, no doubt about it.
It certainly was. I mean, you had one that had the wherewithal and the ability and the capital to make things happen. You had this other creative force to take Bruton's visions and see them through to the end. So, and you know, and this area, the Charlotte area, and Concord, Cabarrus County prospered from that, and indeed the whole sport did. You know, I had one other quick anecdote I wanted to share, if you don't mind. We were doing a race, I think it was in Kentucky, and it was one of those that got delayed, and it went late into the night. And we finally got through calling the race, and I'm packing up and I'm leaving, and my cell phone goes off. Bruton did not carry a cell phone, by the way.
Oh, God.
He was old school, you know.
Yeah.
He had people that carried phones.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? And one of those people was Don Hawk. Don worked for Speedway Motorsports for probably 15 years. He's now the CEO of the SRX Racing Series. Don had been around the game a long time. And we're done. We're off the air. And my phone rings, and I see Don's number come up, and I'm going, okay, I know why he's calling, because he's calling to put Bruton on. Sure enough, he calls, and I answered, and I'm holding my breath, and he goes, Bruton wants to talk to you. And I'm thinking, what did I do? Where did I stumble on this? You know, what went wrong? And Bruton comes on and goes, you know, you made me sit in a parking lot for 10 minutes. And I'm like, oh, this is bad. And he said, I had to sit in the parking lot and listen to the last 15 laps of the race before I went into my hotel.
Oh,
well, good. Well, man, I was worried.
I'm off the hook. I get to play another day.
Oh, the relief you must have felt, man. Oh, that's beautiful.
You cannot imagine how that was. But that was the kind of man he was. I mean, he didn't have to do that.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's a cool gesture. All right, Doug, hey, you did it. We knew you would do it, that you would put this man into words and describe him beautifully, and we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
You know, I thank you for having me, and I will say this. It was an honor to work for somebody like Bruton Smith and to work for him and to work with him and for him. I feel like that's an honor I'll carry the rest of my life.
I bet, man.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate you, man. Thanks, that is Doug Rice from PRN.